of what God's doing here, man. What an incredible time of worship. Can we give them another round of applause? I mean, I know they don't want the applause, and I know that we're not really applauding them. We're applauding the one who deserves it and who has blessed them in such a way. And so it's just awesome to see, you know, it makes me sound so old to call them young people. But anyway, but to see people, young people that just love Jesus and want to sing about him and share about him. And so thank you, Tim, for leading those kids and giving them a chance to do that. And so today we want to start a brand new series called Blessed. And, you know, the thing about it is, as I said earlier, we are blessed in so many ways. And oftentimes we find ourselves kind of moping around and find ourselves looking for things and feeling sorry for ourselves because nothing's going right. And we want this and we want that, but it doesn't seem to come our way. And so we just feel like we're not blessed. You know, and so today I want to spend some time getting into why that is and how we can begin to really change how we look at what it means to be blessed and how we can see that God wants to do something even greater in our lives. So let me just ask this question because this is where it kind of starts. How many of you want to be blessed? Yeah, so most of you want to be blessed. The rest of you, I guess that means you want to be cursed, and that's a whole nother sermon, and we'll talk about that later. But I think really, honestly, I know people in church, you can't raise your hand. You raise your hand, you're getting a little Pentecostal, and we're going to throw you out or something. That's not happening around here. We lift our hands, and we praise God, too. So, but the thing of it is that we want to be blessed. If I asked each one of you individually, you would say, absolutely, Ron, I want to be blessed. But the problem is in the definition of blessed and how we look at it. And so if we kind of unpack it and we begin to look at it, the reality is when we're talking about being blessed, we're talking about having more than what we really need. If we're blessed, that means we've got more than we need. If we say we're blessed financially, that means we've got more than we need so we can give it to other people, or we can do more things with it, or whatever. If we say, God really, he blessed me with this car. You know, if that car's got like $500 car payments, though, I'm not sure that's a blessing, but you can look at that. But anyway, the reality is that when we say we're blessed, it's because we've got better. You know, we could get around in a $2,000 car, but, you know, we feel like we're blessed because we have more than that. And nothing wrong with expensive cars. It's just that we get this mentality that if it's better than what we need, then we just must be blessed. And the reality is that is not always how it works. But also we look at blessed, meaning that we're not dependent on anybody. That we're blessed if we have more than, so that we don't have to just focus on us or on others being needed by us or needing them in our lives. That we're blessed because we're able to be self-sufficient, to be self-reliant. That means that we're blessed. And George Barna did research on it. He's one of the leading Christian research gurus. And if you want to know about anything that has to do with the Christian faith or walk, and you got questions about it, Barna's the guy. He's got an answer for you. And what he found was when they talked to people about independence and self-reliance, that 94% of Americans believe that they are self-reliant or self-sufficient. That they don't need anybody else or any other things, that they can handle it themselves, that they can make it on their own. 94% of the people that were interviewed said, I got it under control. I got it all taken care of. And that's the American way, right? That we're able to take care of ourselves. And so we get this mentality that if we're blessed if we can do that. But we don't want to depend on other people, and I think that's a good thing, that we don't have to be there. But the reality is we're going to find out that it's not such a bad thing to rely on other people. It's just what we rely on them for is sometimes the issue. We don't want to depend on other people. We don't need to or want to have somebody else be there providing for us. We want to be completely self-sufficient when it comes to things and for people and even in relationships. We just want to be on our own. And with the way that people are crunched for time, the way our schedules have gotten, the way that, all kinds of things fill up, everything else, we get this sense that as long as we keep our schedule and we keep everything going, keep all the plates spinning, that we're self-sufficient and we're okay. As long as we can just keep it all going. But the truth is that sometimes we get so many plates spinning that we really are way more dependent on people than we think. We just don't want to admit it. We don't want to focus on it. And being blessed means that we're able to handle it. We're able to we can do it on our own. That's where we've gotten to in this whole thing. We go home and we hit the garage door button. Our garage door goes up. We pull our car in. We close the garage door behind us and we close ourselves off from the rest of the world. We go inside and we just put ourselves in and we're like, man, I don't need anybody. We don't have time for neighbors. We don't have time for friends. We don't have time for all these other things because 94% of us just want to be self-reliant, right? We just want to depend on ourselves. We don't want to have to depend on anybody else for anything else. But here's the thing. We may say that we want to be independent, that we want to be self-reliant, that we want to go home and close everybody out, but there's also an incredible amount of people, an incredible amount of that 94% who are looking for something else. That they say that they want to be self-reliant, they want to be self-sufficient, that they've got it all covered, but there's something missing. Something that's just not there. They've wrapped themselves up in their world, but there's still something there that just, they can't put their finger on it, but it's, they need it and they want it and they're looking for it. And so today I want us to talk about how it can be, we can be so blessed outwardly, but yet missing out on the things that are so important to us. We're going to talk about four different blessings, and today we're going to start out with the first one. And here's what we need to understand, that God has blessed us with a need. He's blessed us with a need. And here's what that need is, that we need each other. We definitely need each other. You want to fill in your blanks on your outline, you can do that. We've been blessed with a need, and it's that we need each other. God's blessed us with the need of needing each other. He's created us to need Him and to need His people around us. Here's how that plays out in Scripture. Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 21 says, "You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord." Listen, if you're a believer in Christ, you're part of His family. You are part of this group that He has put together, that He has carefully joined together. You need to understand that carefully part, that He's put each of us together. If you're at a church, then you are there. You've been carefully put together so because your talents and your gifts and your needs are needed where He's put you. You are important and you're valuable. And we talked about that some in our last series, but the reality is that God's made every single one of us for a purpose. And He's gifted us and He's blessed us with all kinds of things that allow us to be the incredible piece of the puzzle that we are. Nobody is an accident. Nobody's unnecessary. Nobody has no purpose. We have that, and God has put us together to be able to be part of His body. Listen, I believe that the church is not as effective as it could be because people aren't taking what He's given you and plugging it into the place that He's got you. Church is not somewhere that we just attend once a week and we just come in and we come in, we listen, and we go out. No, the church is a body of people, not a building, not a location. It's a group of people that God has put together. And we have this need, and it's a need for each other, a need for each other to be where we need to be plugged in using what He's given us. He's called us to be able to do that. To be independent. That's where we like to say we want to be. To be independent, self-sufficient, self-reliant. But the truth is that God has designed us to be dependent. Dependent on Him. Dependent on each other to do the things that only we can do and only the things that He can do in our lives. He's blessed us with a need, and that need is each other. So many people go through life, though, saying, you know what, I just don't have time. I don't have time for people. I don't have time for things. I don't have, my schedule is so busy, I just can't find time to do the things that he wants me to do with other people. Say, oh, you know what, I'm just not, that's not me. I don't like to be around crowds. You guys know, if you've been around, I'll tell you again that if I have my way, if I'm really me, I go home, I close the blinds, and I don't have to come out for like weeks. As long as somebody drops off pizza or something, I'm good. I don't have to come out. I don't have to talk to a soul. You can ask my girls and my wife. I can go in a room and I can be there, and I don't need that interaction. I'm good with me. I like me. You know, the conversation's kind of boring sometimes, but I like me. And I can just hang out with me. That's who I am. I could go on, long as cable don't go out and food shows up, I'm telling you, I'm good. But the reality is, you know what? The things that make me the happiest, that fulfill me the most, the things that bring out the joy in me, guess what they involve?
Other people.
Absolutely. I could be this person who could go home and not be around anybody else, but the reality of it is that I am blessed because of the people around me. My wife, my girls, man, that when I see them and get to interact with them, and those are the times that I feel the most fulfilled. The thing is that when I get to minister to you guys, that's it. That's where I'm at, man. It's like my sweet spot. When I'm ministering to people outside of the church, that's my sweet spot. I love, and man, it just takes me to a whole other place to be able to minister. Whether it's sharing the gospel with somebody, whether it's just loving somebody, whether it's just, just trying to check in. And sometimes I get spread so thin that it's hard to get to everybody, but man, that is where, telling you. We had the thing the other night that you guys put on and celebrated my 10 years in ministry. But the reality, I sat here thinking about all the things that I missed along the way, because those are the things that really are the most fulfilling. The opportunities that I wish I would have taken more advantage of, because that's what makes me happy. It's a need that we have. And I've grown to understand that sitting at home with the blinds closed, just eating pizza and watching TV all day is not what he's designed me to do. And it's not what he's designed you to do either. We have a need, and it's a need for each other. This guy came to Jesus and said, listen, Jesus, there's all these commands, like 600 more plus these commands. He said, which one is the most important? Which one? Tell me. And Jesus looked at him in Matthew 22, and he says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's most important, to love God first with everything that you have. But he goes on. He didn't just stop there. He said, and the second one is like it. If something is like something, what does that mean? It's similar. It's the same, right? So if the second one is like the first one, he goes on and he says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's just as important that we love others as it is that we love God. He said it. I didn't say it. We got to love God first, and we got to love others second. That means we love them where they are, regardless of what's going on in their life, regardless of what choices they make or don't make, whether they vote the same way we vote or they don't. We got to love people first. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to support those things, but we absolutely have to love people. It's not a choice that we have. It's a command that was given to us. We need each other. And in the church, I think we've come to a place where we'd rather fight from this side to that side, or, this row to that row, and be angry at each other than to just love each other and accept the things that we've got, where we are, and work on the things that we got to work on. But if we don't do it with love, I'm telling you, we don't get anywhere. He said first, we got to love him. And second, that just like it, we got to love each other. You need each other. We need each other. We have this thing that we do here that we've been working on for years, trying to get the wheels under it and get it lifted up. But it's this thing called life groups. And it's where small groups of people come together and begin to study the Word together and just do life together, just live it out, where a few people who are kind of similar to each other can just come together and then live it out and grow spiritually and not just grow wide, but grow deep. And we continue to try to work on that. But listen, that's why we do it, because there is a need that we have for each other, and it's found in these groups, these pockets of people that allow God to show us how much we need each other. And we're going to continue to push them, and we're going to continue to press on and develop those. If we have to do it slow, we'll do it slow. If we got to do it fast, we'll do it fast. But it's up to us and the need that we have. Next Sunday morning at 9:30 or 9:15, we're going to start a class in the conference room. Brian Irvin's going to begin to teach that, and it's just open to anybody that wants to come. And he's going to begin to teach through the Gospel Project like we do on Wednesday night. So we're going to have two life groups going with the Gospel Project. We've got several others going, but that's a great place for you to get here early and just begin to just bond with some other people and begin to learn and to grow spiritually so that a lot of this other stuff begins to come into reality and into perspective, into clarity. And it comes through being around the Word of God and being around each other. You need a spiritual family. You got to have that if you want to grow spiritually. He created you with a need, and that need is for each other. So what's a spiritual family look like? What do we find in it? Let me give you two things that kind of define it. Your spiritual family is people that have that's with refrigerator rights. With refrigerator rights. You know what that means? See, listen, if somebody I don't know shows up at my house and I let them in, they're going to get into the, I'm probably going to let them come into the foyer, and I'm probably going to take them to the living room, and you know, whatever they need to talk about, we're going to talk about it right there. And that's probably as far as they're going to get. All right, because I just don't know them. But like, if most of you show up at my house, I know most of you pretty well. You can come in the foyer, and I'll let you, you know, you can even sit in my chair in the living room if you'd like. Maybe. And then, only if you get there first. But then, I'm going to offer you something to drink, and I'm going to offer you something, but for most of you, you know, you may not feel that way, but I'm just telling you, if you come in, and you get up and go into my kitchen, and open up the refrigerator, you're welcome to whatever's in there. It probably won't be much, but you're welcome to it. And it might have been in there a couple weeks, but you're more than welcome to go in there and eat it. And that's the reality. That's how, you know, we've always just run our house. We open it up and it's just there. We got a couple life groups that meet in our house. One, Kelly, my wife, does a ladies group, and those ladies come on Monday nights, and they're more than one time I come down the steps, you know, or whatever, or come in the door, and there's some lady in my kitchen, you know, fixing her salad or whatever, you know, Donna and some of them, you know. And then there's kids sitting at my table eating pizza or cookout or whatever, and just making themselves at home, because they are. Because that's what we do. We open our home to do that, because we know there's a need that we have, and it's for each other. It's to be comfortable around each other. On Friday nights, we do this thing called Friday at the Pastor's, and it's just, we literally open it up to anybody that wants to come and just hang out at our house. We build a little fire out in the back. We have some food in there. Everybody brings a little dish. And it really is just to come hang out. There's no agenda to it. We do a devotion together, and we talk about it. But it's just more really us just doing life together. And this past Friday night, you know, we were there. Build a fire, hang out. And my wife tried to build a fire before I got there. That didn't work so good. But I fixed it. And so we know what my role is, and so we know what her role is not. But we have fun with it. Because it's just something we want to do. We just, you know, we come down, man, we don't even fold the laundry. We just pile it. It's just piled up there. We keep hoping somebody will come and do it for us while they're there. But that hasn't happened yet, you know. But it's just, you know, our doors are open, and you can come hang out and do whatever you want. Because we just know that there is a need, and it's a need for each other. And if you have that need and there's something that you know is missing, I'm just telling you, there's opportunities for you to come and get in there. And it's not because we're just trying to do this church thing. Because we're trying to do the Jesus thing. We're trying to help people understand who he is and to grow in him, to become all that he created you to be. The world is missing too much of people being where they need to be and fulfilling the purpose that he has. We need a spiritual family with refrigerator rights. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, it says all the believers were together and had everything in common. Listen, we don't have everything in common. We don't all like the same teams. We don't all like the same foods. But here's, we have everything in common if we're believers in Jesus. Jesus is everything. And if we have him in common, the rest of it will work itself out. You guys didn't throw me out of here for being a Cowboys fan yet, because we have everything together. We have Jesus together first. And then all that other mess works itself out. But they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So you know, we talked about that before. I'm not telling you to go sell all your stuff and give it away. That's not what that means. It just means that when there's needs, we help meet them together. That we're to be this unit that does that, that helps people. If people are hungry, we need to feed them. If they're thirsty, we need to give them thirst. If they need clothes on their back, we need to give them clothes. We need to do the best that we can with what we've got to help people the way that the early church did. And that's one of the reasons we don't take up an offering here the way that most churches do. There's nothing wrong with that. And quite honestly, I wonder sometimes about why we do it the way we do, but here's why. It's because I don't want to make anybody feel guilty for giving or not giving. I want us to always give the way that God tells us to give, to always have that open, to be able to be generous and not pressured, to always allow you to give through the generosity boxes and online and all of that stuff, not because somebody's watching, but because you've been blessed and you want to be able to be a blessing. And that's how we do it. But with refrigerator rights, listen, we are able to just love each other and do the things that we want to do because God's told us to do it. Some of you say, I got good buddies and I let them come, you know, and they can come and get some water or whatever. But I'm talking about people that you just let them have the run. You know, let them come, and if they need a place to sleep, you let them sleep. If they need a place to just hang out, just hang out. We become so isolated. We go to the gym, we put our headphones in, and we don't talk to anybody. We walk around the place, we got headphones in everywhere. Every time I need my daughter, she's upstairs, I'm yelling at her, and she don't answer me. And I'm like, did she leave or what? I go up there, and she got her headphones in, right? Somebody came in Lowe's the other day while I was there working, and she had her headphones in, and she was trying to tell me with this in her ears, she was asking me questions, and I was trying to answer them, and she'd go, huh? And I wanted, I just wanted to go boop and pop it out, over here. Because we've gotten to a place where we're so comfortable isolating ourselves and we don't have this kind of interaction with people. We need people in our lives that give us the opportunity to do that. You were created with a need. And that need is for other people. We need to have that in our lives. First, you need a spiritual family with refrigerator rights. And you need those who are barefoot buddies. You need people who are barefoot buddies. That sounds like so silly. And I kept thinking, there's got to be a better way to say this. But here's why I say that. I've told you before, if you've been here before, I talk about my feet. I got like nasty feet, y'all. All right? And some of y'all that are visitors are like, what in the world is this guy talking about? But I do. I got just nasty feet. They're all kind of, kind of scaly and rough, and I don't like feet, so I don't like messing with my feet. I don't like trimming my toenails. I don't like doing, I can't climb trees with them or anything. They're not that bad. My wife accused me of tearing the sheets, but that's not true. But here's the thing. I just got some nasty feet. And so there's only certain people that I would ever let see my bare feet. See, I'm kind of limited on who I would let open my refrigerator and eat my food somewhat, but I'm even more sensitive about who's going to see my nasty, gnarly feet. But we need people in our lives that we don't care what our feet look like. That we don't care where we are. That we're just comfortable letting people be in our space and in our lives so that we can We can make sure that we're sharing the gospel with them, that they're comfortable hearing us talk about Jesus, that they're comfortable allowing us to help them grow in their relationship and helping us grow in ours. We need to have people that we don't care, man. Just, you know, you got nasty feet, prop them up on the coffee table right in front of them, and nobody's going to say anything. You need that kind of relationship with people, because that's where God begins to grow us and mold us and make us and shape us with each other. We need that kind of relationship. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Why do we want to bring praise to Him? Why do we want to do that? You accept one another as Christ accepted you. Why is it that people don't want to open up? Why is it that they don't want to be transparent, that they don't want to be vulnerable? They don't want to rely on other people. They don't want to be independent. Or they don't want to be dependent. They want to be independent. Why is it that we are at this place, that we are so bound by it? We need to get to a place where we accept one another, nasty feet and all. That we have people in our lives where we love each other enough that somebody can come in with hurts and with things that we don't agree with in their lives, and things that they're struggling with, things that are beating them up, and that we can love them and share with them who God is and how He can change them and help them. We've got to be able to love people right where they're at. So often we make ourselves so visible against things that we don't allow people to see us for things. I think this election time has been so much about what people are against and not so much for what people are for. You know, we're against this, but we never really say we're for that. You know, and it's been commercial after commercial that just constantly bombards us with the negative side of all of this. And listen, the positive side is that God is absolutely going to be on the throne Wednesday. It doesn't matter who, I mean, I won't, you know, there are platforms that you need to know that I agree with and that I am 100% for. And it's a conservative one, I'll just say that. But the reality is I'm not sure that any of those are the ones who are going to take us to the place we need. The only thing that I know at the end of the day is that Jesus is going to be Jesus. He died on a cross, was buried and raised 3 days later. Because of that, I'm forgiven of my sins, because I believed it and accepted it. I'm forgiven of my sins. When I die, that I'm going to leave this earth, and then I'm going to live forever in eternity, because on that third day He was raised from the dead as well. And because of my belief in Him, I'm forgiven and I'm set free for eternity. That's all I know. And that's the only thing that I'm going to be able to hang on to as truth through some of this. And it's the same for you and for me. So Wednesday, if things don't go the way that we had hoped and don't go the way that we think they should, listen, that's an even more of a time where we need to bond together as believers in Christ and be strong. And allow God to be all that He wants to be in us. There's people that are going to, it has the ability to divide our nation like it's never been divided before. But I'm telling you, it'll only be that way if the church lets it. Because now I believe that when the church does get under persecution and does get put back, that the family of God that has this need and a need for each other, man, that better become how we live. If not, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in a place where God's not going to be able to do the things that He wants to do in us. So that's I know that's political and people don't like to hear that always in church, but I hope you understand that the reality is I have to equip you. That's what God called me to do, was to equip us. As a pastor, I have to equip you to be ready. And so be ready. Either way, if it goes the way you want it to go, don't gloat. If it doesn't go the way, don't get mad. Let's just get serious. We should hopefully already be, but let's get serious about being the church that God's called us to be. So here's the thing. There's a cool story in the Old Testament that when we talk about accepting one another where we are so that we can love people and help them where they are, there's a cool story in the Bible about a young man that was dropped on his feet when he was a baby, broke his legs, and they were not set back right. And he became crippled for the rest of his life. And this young man was there. He was the son of David's, King David's best friend. And when this young man's father died, King David wanted to do something for this household. And so he said, what can I do for it? And they said, oh, there's this son who is crippled and needs something. He said, go bring him to me. And so they go and they bring this young man. His name is Mephibosheth. You know, try to say that really fast three times and who knows what comes out. But Mephibosheth had been crippled and had lived his life this whole way. And so King David has him brought to the castle, and to his house. He brings him in and he allows him to eat from the table, to be able to be part of it. And Mephibosheth is there, and he becomes part of King David's family in essence, because he needed to be cared for, and he lived out the rest of his life there. 2 Samuel 9:13 said, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Scripture said he was what? Crippled, right? I think if we're all honest in the room, there's a lot of us in here that are crippled. That we may walk fine, and we may stand fine, and we may smile fine, and we may live life just fine. But the reality is inside we're crippled. That there's sin that is crippling us and holding us back. There's alcoholism that's hidden that nobody sees. There's pornography that's hidden that nobody sees. There's all kinds of things. There's adultery, and there's all kinds of things that we always want to do. But there's lying, and there's stealing, and there's cheating, and there's things that are holding us back from being all that God wants us to be. You can keep going on, because the list goes on and on and on. There's the list that we all, the Bible says, have fallen short with, and we've all become part of. And the thing about this need that we have for each other is it allows us to come together crippled and be able to be loved and cared for where we are, so that God then can begin to do great things in us and begin to heal us of those infirmities, to be able to help us overcome alcoholism, to help us overcome pornography, to help us overcome lying and stealing and cheating and all of those things. Those are found in a relationship with God. And listen, we've got to be able to love people. We've got to be able to love them, to be able to allow them to be around us so that we can continue to help them overcome that through God's word and through his power. And if we're rejecting people because they're crippled, man, I got to tell you, that goes against what the scripture teaches us. That we need to be able to allow them to come in. We need a spiritual family. We need a place where we can come in, hurts and all, and people care about us. We need to be able to be that kind of church, to be able to allow people to come, whatever's going on with them, and come in and not just to be patted on the back and say, you know, good job, but to be able to be hugged and cared for and loved, and be able to say, you know what, it's going to be okay, because here's what God's word says. And no matter where you are, that you can be healed of whatever's going on that's brought you to this place. A spiritual family contains some elements. Here's what that looks like. It contains commitment. That means that you don't just give up on the family because they didn't like the way, you know, they didn't accept you right away. You don't give up on the family because it didn't go exactly the way that you thought it would go. It doesn't mean that you forget the family because they didn't accept you, accept what's going on in your life. They accepted you but didn't accept that. You don't give up on them. The commitment is there. People say, I don't have time. We got time for everything that we value. And if we value relationships and we value the family of God, then we'll find time for it. People say, man, I went to that life group. Man, that guy in there, he's just weird. I can't go back with that guy. He's weird. You know, listen, you take it like it is. Man, that may be the guy that just needs you to be around him to love him and help him. If you go to a life group and nobody's weird in it, let me just tell you, you better go look in the mirror. You know, because there's going to be weird people in every one of them. And if you ain't seeing them, then it's probably you. But the reality is we're just weird people. We all got our things, you know? So we don't throw people out because they got their things. We love them. You stay committed to the family and you hang in there. The second part is challenges. The spiritual family takes our commitment and our challenges because we've all got those too. Somebody's family member dies. Somebody loses their job. Somebody's kids go and do something crazy. Somebody's life isn't going the way that they wanted it to. Somebody's having difficult times. Somebody's going through something that is unbelievable. That we just can't even comprehend how somebody deals with that. Those are the challenges that come along within our family that bond us together. And one of the greatest things Friday night was, and I hope she don't mind me, but Leanne, you know, I was so glad that you came to our house. You don't know, Leanne lost her husband this week to cancer. And I know it was a difficult week, and I know that was extremely tough on her. So I can imagine what she would just want to go home and probably... She just wanted to probably be alone, but I'm so glad that she came and hung out with us and just took, and we were able to just love her, because we do, and we've tried to be around her all week. But you know, the reality is it was just kind of, it was so awesome to have that time and to just let God, you know, do his thing in the midst of his family. So I'm telling you, it's important that you have that. Don't isolate yourself when you find yourself struggling with something. Challenges are the things that knit us together as a family. And so we need that in our lives. He takes our commitment and our challenges, and then the glue that holds it all together is Christ. He puts Christ in the center, the one who came and died and paid the price for our sin. He puts him in the center so that we can all come together. We can accept him and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And then understand that he was buried and raised again, so that now the one who's paid for our sins has been raised from death to life. And so our belief in that allows us to be freed from the bondage of sin and set free for eternity. And he takes Christ and he puts him in the middle, and all of everything else, all of our commitment and all of our challenges and everything about life, he puts him there to hold us all together in this thing called a family. You and I have a need. It's a spiritual need. And that's for each other. To have relationships with each other. To hang out and just know that God's in control. If you've isolated yourself because of where you find yourself, let me just tell you that come on home. Come on into the family and let God do something amazing through the people he's put around you. And do something amazing through the Son that he gave for your sin. See, we need each other. People are wondering, like, man, I don't know if I should go back to that church. People have walked away from churches and said, you know, I don't need that. I don't need to be a church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're exactly right. That is so true. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. But I can promise you, you are missing out on the best part of it. That he's given you, the blessing that he's given you here on this earth, is the other people around you going through the same stuff that you're going through, who've been through it and dealt with it and are now there ready to help you go through what you're going through. You and I have a spiritual need, and it's that we need each other. What are you going to do about it? Because see, here's what happens when Christ gets in the middle, where two or three are gathered, he's right in the midst of everything, right in the midst of all of that. Pity the man who falls down by himself, for he has no one to help him up. Two are better than one. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Do you understand that when we come together, we are way better together? I think that's one of the political slogans or something. We're better together. So I don't know, but I don't know whose it is, but it don't matter. But They might not have the rest of it right, but they at least got that right, I'm sure. Because we are better together. And God's given us the opportunity to do that. So are you part of the family? Have you come to a place to accept Him? Have you come to a place that you've allowed His people to gather around you and love you where you are? Listen, if you believe that no one will love you because of what you've got hidden, I'm telling you, you don't understand family. And you certainly don't understand the family of God. Let's love each other. Let's care about each other the way that we've been cared about. Accept each other the way that we've been accepted. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for today. We thank You that You love us the way that You do. God, You have given us an amazing opportunity to be surrounded by people who love You and love us, who have gone through the things that we're going through and have come out on the other side so that we can have that example to look to, how they relied on You to get them to where they needed to be. And God, today we come as a group of people for different reasons. Some of us are here for one reason. Some are here for another reason. But God, the reality is You brought us here to this place together in this moment. And so God, I don't know what You want to do in our lives. I don't know what it is that you've set in place for us. But God, I certainly know that it's time that we truly become the family that You've called us to be. That we understand that You've blessed us with a need, and then You've supplied that need with Your people. God, today I certainly know that our greatest need is the salvation that comes from trusting in You. Our greatest need is for a Savior who came and died and paid the price for us to be able to have a relationship with You. And so God, in these moments, if someone's here and they've never made that commitment to accept Your Son Jesus and His sacrifice, God, I pray that in these next few moments that they would make that decision. God, for those that are in this place that have just never trusted You and accepted that gift, God, that they would acknowledge that Your Son Jesus died on a cross. He paid the price for their sins. That He was buried and on the third day raised again. So that God, through Him, we could have freedom from sin and the penalty of it. And God, we can have eternal life with You. God, for those in the room who've made that decision, have been struggling, isolated, afraid to be honest, afraid to just reveal really where they are and what they're struggling with, and God, may there be a freedom today in that, to be able to just understand that there are people that care, that love them, and are there for them. God, I pray in these moments that You would move freely. Maybe today somebody needs to say, I'm sorry. Maybe today somebody needs to hear, I'm sorry. God, whatever it is You need to do within Your family, God, may You do it with power and with freedom and might. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.